This meeting of the House Judiciary Committee will now come to order. The time is now 1:07 p.m. on Monday, February 16th, 2026. We are meeting in the Grunberg Room, Capitol Room 120. The following members are present: Representative Mina, Representative Eichscheid, Representative Vance, and myself, Representative Gray, Chair. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. I would like to recognize the staff supporting this meeting: Sophia Tenney from House Records, Kyla Tupo from the Juno LIO, and my committee aide, Dylan Hitchcock-Lopez. We have a few items on today's agenda. We'll begin with the confirmation hearings for two appointees to the Commission on Judicial Conduct. We will hear from Ms. Aldine Kilborn and from Ms. Jane Morris. Each appointee will be asked to introduce themselves and answer questions from committee members. We will take public testimony on each appointment as well. And at ease. We will begin with Jane Morris. We'll ask you to come forward. Take yourself off mute. No, you don't need to take yourself off mute. You'll come forward, state your name for the record, and begin your testimony.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Chair Gray and distinguished members of the House Judiciary Committee. My name is Jane Steiner Morris, for the record, and I'm a Juno resident and attorney member of the ACJC, reappointed by the governor for a second four-year term. First, I want to welcome you all to Juno. As a resident of Juno, I'm always happy to see legislators come to town. And thank you for your public service as well. And finally, happy President's Day. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you today. I don't have much in the way of a prepared remarks. I have been, this is not my first time being appointed. By way of introduction, I came to Alaska as a teenager in the 70s, and I've been practicing law and been a member of the Alaska Bar for over 35 years. I'm happy to answer any questions. I made some bullet points of things I wanted to convey that were important to me in a nutshell, because I know your time is a premium. And that is just my commitment in recognizing the importance of ethical conduct and accountability, both in the practice of law and from the bench. It's critical to the public trust, and that I hold very highly as very, very important. It's the important mission of the Judicial Conduct Commission, and that mission really cannot be understated in both mission and purpose. We have a very highly functioning commission, and I want to take this opportunity to let you know that. It's a very highly functioning commission. And the constitutional membership of three public members, three judicial members, and three members of the bar works very well. There's equal respect for every single voice on that commission. There's a lot of good deliberation. We learn from one another. We talk things out. It's very, very functioning. And I just wanted to let you know that I'm very committed to this public service. It's been a real honor to serve in this capacity. I'm dedicated to the mission of the commission. And that's all I have jotted down. I'm happy to answer any questions if anyone has questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions from committee members? Representative Mina and then Representative Vance.
Thank you, Chair Gray. Through the chair, thank you for serving on the commission. During your tenure on the commission, what are some big issues that you all have been facing and big challenges?
Thank you for your question through the chair, Representative Mina. I think across the judiciary, there are issues with social media. We've been to conferences and seen down south how that is affecting, it affects everyone, as well as AI. So one thing is judges really do, in many respects, put their private lives on hold. They are expected to carry themselves out ethically, whether they're in the courtroom or out of the courtroom. And so we're as those things evolve, we want the judiciary to be to not be hidden off in a closet. We want the public to understand how they function, but there's also, they can't quite be posting on social media like if they weren't a judge. And when we went to conferences, we were shocked at some of the things that judges will do. We are lucky. We have not faced near the issues that judges in other states have faced. I can tell you that. So, and then AI also, and how that's used. I would say those are probably two more current things since 2019 when I was first on that we've seen. I don't know if that's answered your question or if there's, I can probably think of more things, but.
Follow up. Thank you, Chair Curry. Through the chair. That's great. A lot of coverage of those different legal topics that are facing our system. And do you have any comments on just the work of the Judicial Council and how you've been working with state government and with the public on many of those topics?
Sure. So we are the commission and not the Judicial Council. So, and the commission. Functions are very different. And that's one thing I've always wanted the public to know more, understand more, because the council really comes into play when it comes to judicial appointees and vetting those folks. The commission's role kicks in after a judge is on the bench. And anybody, any member of the public, any lawyer, anyone can file a complaint. And so our responsibility is once they're appointed to regulate the conduct under our jurisdictional authority. As far as, I think when it comes to the public, sometimes there's a misunderstanding. We get a lot of complaints, for instance, with people that just are not happy with the judicial decision. And so there's a bulk of complaints that come in that don't like a decision, and we have no authority. We may or may not agree with the decision, but that's not in our wheelhouse to review that at all. That hasn't, if it's an, we look only at ethical conduct and behavior. So it, a legal decision somebody doesn't like could have been appealable to a higher court. That's the recourse for those folks. Or if they don't like a law, then of course they would come to you all for a change in the law. But so that's one thing that I think is a constant misunderstanding in the public, that our role is very, very narrow and limited. And so whatever education we can do, And because of the confidentiality in reviewing complaints, it's hard that the public doesn't always get to see what we're doing and understand that piece. So if there's anything I like to let folks know is understand how that works.
Thank you.
Ms. Morris, I just wanted to apologize for mispronouncing your name earlier. I said it wrong. So Ms. Morris, correct?
Actually, through the chair, Morris sounds really nice. I have always said that I love that little flair because I like it. So I've never corrected anyone. For
thank me. You. And I want to state for the record that we were joined by Representative Costello at 1:11 p.m. Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question is kind of along the similar vein that you were just speaking. And I have a lot of constituents on the Kenai Peninsula who are very concerned about the grand juries and just a lot of conduct. And what would you tell them is the commission's role when it comes to their concerns about judicial conduct, grand juries? And I know that you've likely heard different complaints, and they want to make sure that they also have a public process to be able to express concerns. What would you tell people who are concerned about that and what the commission's role is when it comes to making sure that our courts are following the Constitution?
Thank you for the question, Representative Vance, through the chair. The grand jury, I will tell you, first of all, I'm a civil attorney. So the whole grand jury process is a little bit different for something that I've had to learn as I've gone along about it a little bit. And there are times when there are different public officials that are tasked with different responsibilities. And so the commission has really looked closely at what our authority is to do. And we have tried the best we can to direct or redirect questions that have come to us that we don't have the jurisdiction to handle or respond to, because that would be wrong for us, right? And sometimes it can actually be frustrating sometimes as a member of the commission if you can't respond to a public inquiry or request that is sought after But our role is limited to that. So questions may go to the legislature, may go to the legislature, the court system. But as for judicial conduct purposes, it's been a challenge, and there's empathy for the public when it comes to that. But we still have to stay within our side rails of what we can and can't do, or what we can and can't address. And I know it's frustrating to the public, but it's frustrating to all of us sometimes.
Thank you.
I would like to acknowledge for the record that we were joined by Representative Underwood at 1:15 p.m. and Representative Kopp at 1:17 p.m. Any other questions for Ms. Moores? Seeing no other questions from the committee at this time, we will now open up public testimony on the appointment of Jane Moores. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? Seeing no one, I'm checking online. And seeing no one, public testimony on Jane Moores is now closed. Ms. Moores, is there anyone else? Any other questions? Thank you so much for your time and willingness to serve.
Thank you very much.
We will now hear from Aldine Kilborn. If you would please take yourself off mute, state your name for the record, and provide a brief introduction for the committee, that would be great.
Hi, my name is Aldine Kilborn. I've lived in Fairbanks for the past 53 years. I am here before you as a second term appointee to one of the public seats on the Commission on Judicial Conduct. As Jane has pointed out, we don't have a lot of power except to make sure judges uphold judicial ethics, preserving public trust in the court system. Anyone can file a complaint if he or she believes a judge acted improperly, but unfortunately, many complaints are dismissed because they are about disagreements with a ruling or a decision rather than misconduct under the Alaska Code of Judicial Conduct, which is what Jane basically said. The commission cannot intervene if the question is about what a judge decided or ruled or any other issue really in the courtroom. A complainant must instead file an appeal in the court system, and unfortunately, many who come before the commission can't afford to do that. As someone not trained in the law, I am often frustrated in my public position because I can do nothing about what I think is a poor ruling or even a poor decision. And as Jane and my colleagues would probably note if you talk to all of them, I say a lot. Many of these complainants who are denied feel justified in saying that the judicial system is corrupt, unfair, biased, etc. And they feel wrong. And I often feel that they are justified in their feelings, but there's not anything as a commission member that I can do about it. As the body that provides money to the court system, you should be aware of how often these complainants are represented by public defense lawyers who have more clients than any reasonable person could handle. And way too many times, they don't have enough time to represent their clients effectively. Or these complainants represent themselves and they don't understand the distinction between judicial complaints like bias or discrimination or conflict of interest or being improper outside in the courtroom and non-judicial complaints, which are not an issue addressed by the Alaska Code of Judicial Conduct. As a member, I spend a great deal of time listening to audio of courtroom events. All of us have to listen to the recordings of whenever somebody complains about something happening in the courtroom. So we listen to that entire hearing, whatever it might be, reading court documents and records, reading what complainants allege transpired in their situation, hearing audio testimony from the complainant, and even having time to ask direct questions of them when they are on the phone. There are people who believe we should allow them to be present when we investigate what a judge is being accused of. But we are required to be confidential until such time as an investigation reveals misconduct is suspected. And it's at that point that the commission holds formal hearings, allows the judge to respond, and we review testimony under oath. The commission does discipline elected judges when misconduct is proven, and these relatively few instances still reflect badly on the public's perception of the court system as a whole. As a side note, while I'm not particularly fond of the makeup of the judicial council that sends names to the governor for judicial appointment, I would hate to see us directly electing judges like so many other states do. The reports that we receive on judicial behavior reports from judicial conduct commissions in other states make me cringe in disbelief, and I'm sure Jane would say the same thing. We just don't see that judicial behavior complaints come before the Alaska Commission on Judicial Conduct because Alaska doesn't directly elect its judges. I appreciate the time to be before you. If you have questions, I'm glad to answer.
Thank you so much, Ms. Kilbourn. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Kilbourn, do you want to be confirmed again?
Oh, yes. I find the job very interesting. It's just that it's very frustrating, and anybody else that would sit in that position, I mean, we can't help these people. And yet it doesn't seem fair when a mom doesn't get her child at all, or a dad doesn't get to see his kid for years. I mean, it's hard, as I'm sure it would be for you to listen to this stuff. But yes, I would like to be confirmed.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee? Oh, Representative Costello.
Thank you. And I just want to say I really appreciate anybody who puts themselves forward to serve on behalf of our boards and commissions, and it's a lot of work and a lot of commitment. So I want to thank everybody in the process. My question has to do with, is there clear guidelines to the public when they put forward a complaint about what the nature of it needs to be so that it doesn't end up being a situation where they're just unhappy with the outcome, you know, of their case?
On the website, as well as the letters that get sent to them, it's made very clear that there's a difference between what a judge rules or decides and what we can actually consider as unethical behavior. For example, someone complained that the judge was biased towards them. Well, that is an ethical question under the Alaska Code of Judicial Conduct. The problem is when you listen to the tapes of those presentations, you can't, none of us hear where there's any bias with anything. We think the judge bent over backwards to accommodate this particular complainant. And it's their perception of I think what we can do, and it's what Jane pointed out, we don't know how to get more information out there to the public that they understand that if you want to complain about a judge's decision, you're going to have to appeal. If you think there's an ethical question, you can apply to us, but it has to be something that is provable. And oftentimes, there's no way that we could say there's any kind of proof that something like bias happens. Does that answer the question?
Thank you.
Any other questions from committee? Seeing no other questions at this time, we will open up testimony on Ms. Kilbourn. Public testimony is now open. Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify? Seeing no one, we'll go online. Mr. Ed Martin, are you online to testify about Aldine Kilbourn? If so, please take yourself off mute. State your name. Yes,
Chairman,
state your name for the record.
Great. I am here. I'm present.
Thank you.
But to be present at even their meeting, sir, you could be dismissed. And it's happened to me. And it happened in front of both of these commissioners.
Mr. Martin, will you state your name for the record?
Oh, Ed Martin Jr. I reside in Kenai, Alaska, and aloha from the Big Island.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to get through this testimony, but I'll tell you something. I get stressed real easy. And at the last meeting, I had one of the public members try to remove me from Zoom before even my opportunity to speak. Now, I request that all these members go to the last meeting, see what happened. My testimony was actually read by the chair, Judge Amy Mead. My complaint, I have complaints against them, of which are ethical reasons why the complaint exists. And it goes back to several years. I will not give up. I believe that seriously, they're self-dealing, self-protecting, and won't look into their own actions and inactions by the commission themselves. And this should not be taking place, particularly when they're there to take judgment on judges and their actions. Actually, my complaint was against two judges and the director, Ms. Marla Greenstein. That was summarily dismissed by a vice chair. I was invited back to testify, and when I got there on Zoom and registered to speak, I was summarily dismissed. That's a violation of the Open Meetings Act. Now, whether they know it or not, chairman and members, I filed a complaint with the U.S. civil rights people to look into this. This is out of control. They don't even want to open up their meetings like the AJC meetings to the public because they want to hide behind what they're doing. It's self-dealing. It's not right. And I vote against, strongly vote against virtually every member on that board currently. And it needs to be recomposed of good, honest citizens, not with conflicts of interest and bias against certain individuals. I'm going to have to give up now, but I want to thank this committee. And I wrote letters to you last year about the other member that was approved last year, Mr. Satterberg. Please revisit what I've sent you folks. And I deeply appreciate your giving me the opportunity to speak. God bless you all.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Seeing no additional testifiers, public testimony is now closed. Ms. Kilburn, thank you for your time and your willingness to serve. In accordance with AS39.05.080, the Judiciary Committee held a hearing on the following appointees to the Commission on Judicial Conduct: Jane Moores and Aldine Kilburn. A signature on this report does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individual during any further sessions. We will now take an at ease to sign the paperwork. At ease. We are back on the record. Our second item of business is HB 213, Data Sharing Social Security, for its second hearing in our committee. As you recall, this bill was introduced last week. Today, we will address any final questions members may have before the amendment deadline. We have representatives from the DMV and Social Security Administration available telephonically to answer questions. And at this time, I would like to invite the sponsor, Representative Jimmy, and her staff, Hayden Johnson, to the witness table. Thank you. If you want to put yourself on the record.
Yes, Representative Jimmy, House District 38. Today we are presenting, thank you, committee members of the judicial. We are presenting again HB 213, which allows for Alaskans to apply for replacement of Social Security cards online. Alaska is the only state that doesn't allow online replacements. We are hoping to change this.
So good afternoon, House Judiciary Committee. For the record, I'm Hayden Johnson. I would like to address some questions that were raised last week about the issue of tribal IDs. It was asked if this bill allows tribal IDs to be used to get a replacement Social Security card. This bill does not pertain to tribal IDs. It only addresses a specific technical issue with the DMV statute and fixes it. Although the question of tribal IDs is important, it is outside of our jurisdiction to make this change. Committee members also asked about what specific data elements the AAMVA gathers. Those elements are a person's last name, date of birth, state, driver's license or ID number, the state of issuance, and their address, which will include their street, city, state, and zip code.
Thank you. So just a reminder, we have Dustin Brown, head of legislative affairs for the Social Security Administration based in Washington, D.C., online for questions. And we have Kathleen Wallace, director of the DMV based in Anchorage, online for questions. Are there any questions from committee members at this time?
Oh, I have a question.
Representative Mina.
Thank you, Chair Gray. Through the chair, this question is for the DMV. So I am looking into the follow-up from Mr. Brown about the way that it works to use your tribal ID to renew your Social Security, that the tribe has to be registered with the respective state DMV. Do we have any tribes registered with our DMV?
Ms. Wallace.
Hi, this is Kathleen Wallace, director of the DMV, for the record. Through the chair to Representative Mina, no, the DMV does not, well, the Alaska DMV does not register federal tribal IDs specifically. We don't have a mechanism to do that. Folks can use their tribal ID as a form of identification, not a primary form of identification, but as a secondary form of identification to assist in getting a driver's license or identification card. But as far as registering with us, we do not have a mechanism for that in the state of Alaska.
Follow up. To the chair, to Mr. Brown, could you clarify your statement in the email that we received that tribal communities would need to register with their respective DMVs, I assume, to participate with the AAMVA and the ISSNRC?
Through the chair to Representative Mina, that is
Mr. Brown. Can you please put yourself on the record?
Oh yes, Dustin Brown, head of Legislative Affairs, Social Security Administration, for the record. Through the chair to Representative Mina. We did check, and there is no state DMV that currently receives that tribal identification. It is not just the state of Alaska. That would be the process one would need to go through if you were going to enable this sort of change, but it would require a federal policy or legislative change before that was enabled.
Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. Any other questions for our sponsor, her staff, or folks online? Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This question is for Mr. Brown, and it may be a little bit out of your wheelhouse, but since you're available, I thought I would ask. There's been a lot of conversation about federally recognized tribal IDs. Do you know, and the use of them, do you know if there's conversations in Congress to further assist in their use of verification and being able to use them as a primary form of ID? Because we know that they are TSA accepted and things like that. But do you know if Congress is taking a deeper dive into this issue?
Mr. Brown.
Through the chair to the representative. I am not aware of whether Congress is looking at this issue or not.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions from committee members regarding House Bill 213 at this time? Seeing no further questions, we will put House Bill 213 aside until after the amendment deadline. The amendment deadline is tomorrow, Tuesday, February 17th at 5 p.m. If you have amendments, please reach out to my committee aide, Dylan Hitchcock Lopez. Thank you so much to Representative Jimmy and to Hayden Johnson. And we are that concludes today's business before the committee. Before we adjourn, here's a quick preview of the rest of the week. On Wednesday, February 18th, we'll have a presentation on children's justice by the Alaska Children's Justice Act Task Force, joined by Alaska Infant Learning Program Association. And then on Friday, February 20th, we will hear House Bill 136, Railroad Utility Corridors, House Bill 239, Criminally Negligent Homicide Failure to Assist, and House Bill 64, Surrender of Infant Safety Device. As a reminder, the amendment deadline for House Bill 239, Criminally Negligent Homicide Failure to Assist, and House Bill 64, Surrender of Infant Safety Device, is this Thursday, February 19th at 5 p.m. The time is now 1:40 p.m. and this hearing of the House Judiciary Committee is adjourned.